I wonder what the temperature is going to be outside. Oh, it's not too bad. The sun is shining, blue skies, and for the first time this week, it is not too cold in the morning. The weather is gradually improving. We've had very cold and very wet times, but it seems to me that springtime might actually be here. And I'm now walking over my small hobbit path to the back of my house, back of the garden, so I can head for the woods during this walk. Oh, it's so nice to be outside. I really am done with the cold. And it's particularly pleasant that the weather is nice, because when I'm tired, and I have been very tired this week, I am even more vulnerable to the cold. I really don't like to go outside when it's raining, when the temperatures drop to almost freezing point in the morning. And maybe that is one of the reasons that I'm recording this on a Friday morning instead of what I usually do on a Monday morning. It's a combination of the weather just not being very inviting to go out for a walk, and it's also mainly the fatigue that I experienced after a very interesting, extremely engaging, but also exhausting weekend at the fantasy and costuming festival at Elphia. I probably have told you about this last week, I don't recall. And if you are following me on social media, you will have certainly seen the photos that I uploaded from that event. I went there for 2 days and it was amazing. It may be the best experience so far. I've gone to these fantasy fairs for a couple of years now. Maybe the first time I went there was about 10 years ago. And back then it was still very much a different planet for me. I felt extremely awkward and out of place in my priestly attire among all those amazing, dressed up people in the most beautiful costumes. And also the overall vibe of fantasy and imaginary worlds. And I was just walking around there with a camera, because back then I was filming some interviews for, I think, a TV episode about fairy tales or something like that. I'd never been to an event like that. And it was just very awkward. I felt so self-aware. How things have changed over the years. Now, when I go to a festival like this, I have so many encounters, so many conversations, and I meet so many friends, because over the years, by going to these events and talking with people, you build up relationships. And even if it's just a few times in a year that you see one another, the fact that I've spoken with these people and I know a little bit about their personal story and what brings them there, oftentimes also shared enthusiasm for stories and fairy tales and Tolkien and you name it, builds these relationships. And so every time when I go there, every year, it's more of a reunion, which also encourages me to reach out to new people and expand the boundaries, you could say, of my social circle during these events. And I never thought that I would be doing that. And it's because I've always imagined to be a very introverted person, someone who was too shy to just walk up to complete strangers and start a conversation. And that has completely changed. And I think it is due to something extremely important that I discovered over the past few years, and that is that, in fact, what I always labeled as introvert, like an introverted character or nature, is actually linked to something much more obvious now that I look at it, and that is that the reason that social traffic or let's say social contacts would wear me out, and that I would be hesitant to engage with people, was that it is overwhelming. And I was extremely like projecting a certain version of myself whenever I'm in the real world, when I'm not home. And it's only with like very good friends that I don't feel like I have to mask. And this, of course, I think is linked to the whole, you know, neurodivergent aspects of my brain. And so just realizing that because I was always masking in those situations instead of being myself, that was the big energy drain. That was where all the energy was leaking away. No wonder that I was trying to minimize the amount of social contacts that I had. No wonder that I had always trouble to engage in conversations, because I felt like, oh, I need to put energy into that encounter. And that is completely different now. And I've been, this is something that relates to what I shared with you last week on the walk. This awareness of this tendency that I had to always mask, even when I was just going out to get groceries, or when I would be walking around here in my hometown, just the idea that I always had to be, you know, have a friendly demeanor. I don't know, always have to kind of put myself in a certain mode, is all linked to this insecurity, I guess, that I'm good enough as it is. And it's so funny that the more I correct myself, there are still moments where I do a bit of that. And I noticed that also, especially on Saturday when I went to the first day at Elphia, there were moments where I felt like, okay, I feel like I'm pushing myself right now. And I'm very aware of the fact that I want to be friendly here and I want to acknowledge people. I'm also a little bit hyper-vigilant because I don't want to miss people that I know or am supposed to know that recognize me, but I don't recognize them or I don't greet them. So there were moments where I realized, oh, wait a minute, it feels like really I'm putting too much effort in being here. And I know this sounds maybe very strange for you if you don't know what it feels like in my mind and from my perspective. So I hope I'm making sense for you. But then I would just switch back to being myself. And even physically, I would relax the muscles of my face, because when I'm masking and I'm projecting myself, I my face is more tense, so I have a smile on my face, and I try to look in a certain way. I was not aware that I was doing this, but now that I am aware of it, I notice that, well, this is an energy drain. And this is also true when engaging with other people, and that's what I wanted to talk about today, is how much I'm starting to enjoy these social encounters, how much I start to enjoy these conversations with total strangers. And instead of it like freaking me out and costing me a ton of energy, I'm at the point now where a lot of those conversations and a lot of those social encounters actually give me energy and bring me joy. And this, regardless of, or despite that, of course, having such an intense weekend where I'm out in the open. You have to imagine it's around a castle, and if you've seen the pictures, you know what to imagine. It's this very kind of fairy tale like castle on the west of the city of Utrecht, where I was in seminary and where I studied at the university. It has amazing gardens, and there are some canals also, and woods. It's extremely varied, and right now this season, of course, is beautiful because Nature is awakening. You've got flowers everywhere. It's very green. It's a beautiful sight. And so, but it's big. And I've been walking around there. I travel, of course, by public transport. I don't have a car. So the trip alone it takes energy. And then walking around there for, what is it, first day, I went there at 8 o'clock in the morning, I think. And I came home, I was home at 6. So that is still 10 hours that I'm on my feet walking around. Second day, a bit shorter because I had mass in the morning first. And then I asked the parishioner if he could bring me to the railway station so I didn't have to bike, because I was having mass at Wageningen, and the train departs from Ede, which is about, I don't know, 7 kilometers away from Wageningen. So in order to save time, I asked parishioners if they could give me a ride to the railway station. But despite the fact that I arrived there at around noon, I think, I still walked around for more than 6 hours. The social context, despite the fact that it's costing me less energy than it used to, it's still quite something. I mean, the rest of the week, I collapsed, basically, in terms of energy. I was so tired. So the first two nights, I slept 9 to 10 hours. That's how wiped out I was. And it was not just physical. I know it's just also, it's like a social hangover. I think that's a term that I've seen in some places describing what that does. It's you've been all of a sudden like putting the social aspect of my life to a 10, and normally it would be at a 5. So you need to recover from that as well. And what the fatigue that you experience afterwards is not physical fatigue, because obviously I'm in good shape. I walk and run, but it's mostly the social fatigue. However, this would have been much, much worse a few years ago, when, you know, being there would have not only also caused a lot of kind of stress on location, and I barely registered that this time. So let me tell you a bit about those encounters and why I was so motivated, energized by those contacts. So the first thing I decided was I want to bring my iPhone with me instead of a camera. All the previous years I always brought my Canon M50, which is a digital photography camera that I've used also for television production. And I had a very good lens, a microphone. But of course, it's even despite the fact that it's a very small camera and my lenses are usually not too heavy, it's still bulky, and you need to have a bag with you for all the, you know, lens converters and filters and whatnot. So it does add to the overall, I don't know, just clumsiness. It's not clumsy, it's just a different way of going to an event. And so this time I decided, well, I've got the iPhone 15 Pro now, or the Pro Max, and that is an extremely good camera that can film actually in a higher quality than my Canon M50. Let's just try to take that. That's my minimum equipment. I'm not even going to take a microphone with me. I'm just going to rely on the internal microphone, and I'm going to film, because two reasons. I love filming. I love photography. And I know that every time I go to an event like that, for days and days, I can browse through that footage and relive those experiences. And if I share it, lots of other people can share in that same joy of, you know, oh, remember that moment, or wow, I missed that, and what a great way to be able to experience an event like this from the perspective of someone else who was there. And a second reason is I also wanted to have a reason to start conversations. So this is a bit of a social hack that, it's, even though I don't, I'm much less stressed to engage in conversations. Sometimes, for instance, at one point I was very hungry. I'd been, this was on day two on Sunday. So I arrived there very late. I didn't really immediately grab something to eat. But then at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was starting to get really hungry. So I was waiting in line for a German barbecue place where they sold tomahawk steaks. I think it's pork chop, but a very thick one. And they grill it. And then they put it in a small, you know, it's ridiculous, a tiny wide bun of bread. So you've got this tiny bread, a piece of bread, and then this huge steak that reminds me of, you know, what the Flintstones used to eat in the dinosaur days. And at least in terms of, you know, how big that thing looks in comparison with that small piece of bread. But it takes a long time for that meat to be fully cooked and grilled. And so I stood there in line for 20 minutes, maybe even more. And while I'm standing there, I'm not filming, I'm not doing anything, but I do engage in conversations. I'm talking with people around me without any effort. Whereas a few years ago, I'd probably put in, you know, my earbuds, listen to a podcast and feel awkward. That's all gone. It's really gone. I love to engage with people. But those are just, that's just chit-chat. It's just small conversations and I always ask the same question. So how do you like it here? And what have you seen? It's just stuff like that. But I would like to have conversations that go a little bit further than that. And I have a reason. And that is what I want to do is to engage people and make them feel heard. So for me, going to a festival like that is not just because I enjoy, it's not just spending some free time and going to a party. No, for me, this is part of my mission. I want to be there as a priest to listen and to encourage people and to open myself up to them so they can share whatever they want to share. And I want to make them feel seen and heard. And I know that a lot of the people that go to events like this, this is what I've learned over the years, many of those very fervent cosplayers who sometimes spend months and months creating their costume, doing their makeup, or making these elaborate masks, for them it is a way to express themselves in a way that they are unable to do in real life. So those 2 days, that event, is for them actually, despite the fact that it's a fantasy world, it's more real than the real world, if you know what I mean. So if you are in a situation where in your relationship or at work or where you live, your life is not that rose-colored. You're going through some tough times. You feel alone. Maybe you have mental issues. You feel that people don't understand you, that they don't see you, but you just have a lowly job and nobody cares about you. If you have a costume, if you change your appearance, and if you join an experience with many other people who are there deliberately stepping into this liminal experience, a liminal situation is, for instance, if you go to the movies, you forget about your life for 2 or 3 hours. That's why a lot of us love movies and TV shows so much, or video games, because for a couple of hours we're in a different world. And we experience a story, and we can be a hero. We can be someone that in real life we often are not able to be. And we can learn from that, and we can express ourselves more freely. Because everybody is there knowing very well that our social conventions are now on hold. And we can just be more ourselves, and we can be the best version of ourselves. And so I know that all those considerations are important to many of the people that visit a convention like that. And that gives me, if you ask the right questions people often open up in a way that they would never in real life, especially not in these short encounters where you only have a few minutes where you have a conversation. If you were, for instance, on the subway, or I don't know, on a bus, or waiting for your flight to depart, you would never have a conversation about mental health, or about your hope and aspirations for the world, or all those topics are, it's way too personal to go in depth about those things with people that you don't know, but not on these festivals. And I've noticed this also when I was at the Star Wars conventions, both in Anaheim and a year later in London, because you already have a common language, a common passion, and there's also this kind of suspension of disbelief, like we're all in the Star Wars world now, the real world is far away. It's you get to the point, to the what really matters much quicker. You feel a sense of community, a bond that grows much more quickly than in day-to-day life. And I felt like, well, this is an opportunity for me to be here as part of my mission to listen to people's stories. And this goes both ways. It's I listen to them, they listen to me. I learn from them, they may learn from me. Or they may at least experience that there is someone of the church who is interested in them, really interested, not just in their costume or in their mask or makeup, but in the person behind, you know, the mask and behind and underneath the costume. And this is how I use my camera and this this idea of, well, I'm here to make a vlog as a kind of a way to open a conversation and to quickly get to a point where I would never go outside of an event like this. So here's how I did this. So you walk around, and it's, for me, it's a huge feast in terms of colors. It had been raining for days and days. It was still pretty cold on Saturday, but despite the cold and the occasional rain shower, most of the time the sun would shine, and then all the colors, both of the location of the castle and the castle gardens, but also of all these costumed people, all these colors start to sing in a way. And wherever I look, I see beautiful people and beautiful costumes. So what I do, I have a hunch usually for who might be interesting to engage with. And I don't know, I can't really describe what my criteria are. It's not an intellectual, conscient process. It is probably just the experience of having done this for what is it, 15 years now. So I start the story just by doing some... This is just to kind of get into the vibe of creating a vlog. I do some stand-ups, as they call it, in the garden in front of the castle. I say, hey, I'm Father Roderick, I'm a priest and I'm a geek, and I'm here at Elphia. It's the biggest fantasy festival in Europe, and I'm going to show you around. And then I'm going to ask people why they are here. And so I stand there at the entrance. I see so many amazing costumes. All these people are still like very giddy because they're finally here and it's gonna start. So you have the energy at the beginning of the day. And my first question is always like, oh my gosh, I love your costume. Can I take a picture of your costume? Now, 99% of the people will say, sure, why not? And some of them that are very experienced in posing, they will actually strike a pose and make sure that the picture itself is not just like, oh, here is Mr. or Mrs. X or Y or Z in a beautiful costume, but they will actually become the person that they embody in with their costume. So I take a few pictures. I use the portrait mode of the iPhone, which blew me away. I have not used that mode that often in the past because it's a bit... It uses a number of the lenses and some digital wizardry to create this these very blurry backgrounds. And I don't know, the downside is you have to really step away from the subject. And not just a bit, not just a few meters, but you really have to go like very far away. On a normal, if you would take a normal photo, the person would be just, I don't know, maybe 20% of the picture. That's how far away you have to stand. But when you use a portrait mode, it zooms in, it creates this incredible, you know, realistic looking blurry background, which is partially because of the quality of the lenses, and it's partially also just using some electronic trickery to make it look as if it was photographed with a very expensive wide lens or fast lens. And so those photos were amazing. If you take a look at my Facebook account or Instagram, you will see some of those portrait pictures. And I couldn't believe myself that this was done with a phone. Insanely good. And so I then show the photos to them and I say, hey, do you have Instagram or WhatsApp, or can I send these to you? And because the photos are usually very beautiful, people really want to have them themselves. And so I look them up on Instagram, I follow them, and I send them the photos there and then. And if I don't have, the internet was very spotty over there, so sometimes I couldn't make a connection with the internet. That's when I just wrote their account or their email address in a document on the iPhone, and a short description of who the person was. It's the pink ladies on the stairs in front of the castle, something like that. And so immediately when I had internet connection, I would send them those photos. And you'll often get a reply, oh, that's wonderful, thank you. They follow me back on Instagram. So just that one short moment of contact, that first contact, is establishing a mutual relationship. That is amazing. I mean, I have more followers from events like this than I have followers in my parish. And the moments of points of contact have been much fewer, or just there maybe just have been this one single encounter that lasted a few minutes, and yet these people will continue to follow me for years. An example of this was, I was walking, this was on day two, I think, and I was following the path through the park on the left side of the castle, and I hear my name. It's, hey, Father Roderick. I look around and I see this girl, or young woman, and she's, hey, that's great that you're here. And she starts a conversation as if she knows me very well. And I was like, you look vaguely familiar, but I can't really tell what I know you from. So in the past, I would just kind of fake it. You know, oh, it's wonderful to see you again. How are you doing? And what is your costume? And I tried to skip over all the embarrassing moments where I wouldn't actually had no idea who this person was that I was talking to. But now this is part of the unmasking process. I'm just honest. I say, hey, gosh, I know I have to know you, but it just escapes me. Can you help me? And then she said, well, actually, we met before here at Elfia, and I've been following you. You took my picture, and I've been following you on Instagram. And I realized that was 2 years ago. And the encounter actually was not even a... it all came back to me. That was one of the encounters that I didn't feel good about, because she was when I was taking her picture 2 years ago, it was raining, the weather was very bad, and I think I was just talking. I was just in a conversation. Maybe I was sheltering again for the rain under a tent. So I see her and strike up a very general conversation, and then I was like, okay, can I take a selfie or something like that? And I do, and she is still like arranging her hair because it's been, you know, it's been wet because of the rain. So I snap a selfie, I snap another one, and I post the first one, not even thinking about it, on Instagram. And then I get this message from her, like, you took that picture, I was still arranging my hair, and oh my goodness, that I don't look good at all. She was like a bit irked that I posted that picture before she was ready for the photo. And I was like, oh my gosh, I did not realize that. This is probably because I'm a guy and I don't have any hair to be worried about. But I acknowledged that. I said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I posted the wrong picture. So I took it off and posted the next one where she is actually done with arranging her hair. And it was so funny. Oh, here's a guy on a ladder, or a girl actually on the ladder, and she's taking notes of birds, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you studying?
We are monitoring the nest boxes.
Oh, the nest boxes.
Yeah.
Are there birds in there now?
No, not yet.
No, not
it's
yet.
Just eggs.
Cool. All right. Good luck. This is a part of the things that happen when you live near a university that focuses on farming and crops and nature and that sort of stuff. I'm not sure what the term is for that, but we have an agricultural university here at Wageningen. So this must be a student who is either volunteering or doing maybe some research. Anyway, so that 2 years later, she recognized me, and I immediately know, like, oh yeah, you were the girl who actually makes these amazing like drawings for children's books on Instagram. I love your work. I think it's amazing. And we have an immediate rapport. But what I did not realize until that moment was that she actually knew very well who I was, because she had seen my life on Instagram for the past 2 years. She's been following me. So from her perspective, she actually knows me quite well. Whereas in my mind, I just follow her art that she posts. But I've never had a conversation afterwards. So it's so funny, and this is true, of course, also for my work on TikTok and YouTube, and I've noticed this especially on events like this. When I was at Anaheim, I remember that I had a stomach bug, which was the worst time, of course, to have a stomach bug with all the great food in the US. And we'd been to an Italian restaurant. I hadn't eaten for 2 days because I just couldn't bear eating. I was starving, and that was the first night that I had some food again. And then after dinner at an Italian restaurant, we were waiting in line for to get ice cream, gelato, but I was not feeling well, so I just didn't want to eat ice cream. I was afraid that, you know, things would go wrong terribly. So I was standing there at a distance of the gelato store, whatever it was, and then this guy, kind of like a skateboarder guy, approaches me, and he must have been, I don't know, 17, 16. Like, oh my gosh, are you Father Roderick? Oh my god, I follow all your anime stuff on TikTok, and I realized that I'm at the other side of the world, someone that I've never met. I don't know who it is, but it is one of my, what is it now, almost 200,000 followers on TikTok, who actually has been following all my stuff, is a big fan of what I do, but has never reached out. But from his perspective, has the impression that he knows me very well and he's meeting like a celebrity. And that was such a good reminder of the impact of my ministry and why it's important to never underestimate the impact of these very short encounters. Long story short, this is why I feel it's so important to go to events like this. So then step one is, can I take your picture? And then I send them the photo. And step two is, almost casually, I say, hey, I'm actually making a vlog in English about this event. And would you mind if I ask you a question or two in English? Again, 99% of the people say, sure, that's fine. That's okay. Because they've already said yes to something super simple, the second yes to something a little bit bigger is easier. And this is just simple marketing psychology, right? It's usually what happens in a lot of other commercial situations where they will offer you a free sample when you're walking around in a mall or something, and they will come up to you and, can I offer you a free drink or something like that? You're like, oh my gosh, that is, yes, I'd love it. And then the next pitch is, okay, can I interest you in, I don't know, a six-pack of this drink or something like that. And they know that the chances that you will actually engage with that follow-up invitation is bigger when you've already accepted for the first time. Anyway, this is a similar technique that I use to break the ice. And of course, I don't do it for nefarious purposes or for to sell anything, but it's in order to make it easier to ease into a conversation. And so I have that permission to ask them some questions. They don't know what I'm going to ask, but the first contact has been very lighthearted and I'm very, you know, very friendly and loose. And so the guards are down. And this is, in contrast, what would happen if I would just walk up to someone in a costume, in my priestly attire, and say, hey, can I ask you a question? I think it would be much harder to engage in conversations because people have their preconceptions about, oh, this is someone who's going to try to convert me or something like that. I mean, I don't know this guy. So the first step is show interest. And it's genuine interest. I love these costumes. I'm a huge fan and I love taking photos of people. So once that's the first basic level of trust that is established, I can go a little bit further and then can I ask you some questions. So I have there's this guy walking around near the castle. He's at the foot of the castle. And he's dressed as the Joker. And the sun is just hitting his costume. And it's the Joker from the standalone Joker movie. And I think there's going to be a sequel very soon where Joachim, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, Joachim Phoenix, is playing a very mentally disturbed Joker, a very violent one, a tragic figure. And it's a bright costume, but it's also a bit freaky. And I thought he did a pretty good job with the costume and the makeup. It all looked very much like the Joker from the movie. So I asked him, hey, again, can I take your picture? And he's a bit uncertain, and so he's constantly asking his friends, should I do that? I hear from his accent that he's from Belgium. So I have a bit of chit-chat, and you know, eventually I take his picture, I show him, and then I ask him, can I ask you some questions? So first question is, what's your costume, and why did you choose it? He had to think about that, and then I said, well, so what intrigues you about the person of the Joker? And then he says, and this is happening in like 2 or 3 minutes. He says, well, you know, actually, the character of the Joker, as played by Joachim Phoenix, is so close to how I often feel. Because, you know, from the outside, I have to be all smiles. But on the inside, I have a lot of mental health issues. And I'm struggling a lot. And he's dead serious when he says that. And so I'm taken aback a bit by his openness. And I even ask him for permission. Is it okay if I ask you another question? Because I realize that this is very personal. Sure, that's okay, he says. And so I said, well, so the mental health issues and struggles, that must be really tough. At the same time, you are dressed as a clown, as a someone who wants at least to be cheerful and cheer other people up. Who is cheering you up? Who makes you feel happy? And he thinks about it very briefly this time. He points towards his friends. He says, it's my friends. They took me here. We came all the way from Belgium. And they wanted to go with me because I wouldn't have been able to go here alone. And thanks to them, I have this wonderful day. And if it weren't for them, I might not have been here or something to that extent. I don't recall exactly what he said. I was just so blown away by that answer. It's such a beautiful thing to say. And immediately, this was at the beginning of the festival. I'm like, this is why moments like this are so important. Because for many people, this is a way for them to experience friendship and acceptance and positive encouragement that they crave in day-to-day life. And that's where I realize how important my mission is as well. Because if I could reach out to people like this and offer them a community, an experience where you are not alone when you struggle with mental health issues, when you go through difficult moments in your life, but that you are valued and seen and you can even have a positive impact on the rest of the community, Just imagine what a difference that would make in people's lives. And this is the final piece of the puzzle. And that only clicked a few days later. So on Wednesday evening, I was joining the group coaching call by Cliff Ravenscraft. So he has this next level coaching. I always forget about the names. So next level coaching group. I know that Cliff is listening to this and is like, but I'm sorry, I'm so bad at recalling these. But anyway, it's a coaching group where people that want to become coaches themselves, or maybe are already starting a coaching business, can ask anything. And so for about 90 minutes every week, Cliff is available to give advice, tips, to analyze problems, etc. For the past 3 weeks, I was unable to join the call because of the time difference. it starts at 9 p.m. my time, and it lasts until 10:30. So that's actually past my bedtime. And there are just weeks where I don't have the energy, or maybe Wednesday is also a coaching day for myself. And I'm sometimes so wiped out after coaching myself that I feel unable to join the call. But I had a number of questions, and this is also because I've been working on the membership communities and just thinking about how am I going to serve my audience and how can I expand my mission. So I had a number of questions for Cliff, and we spoke among other things about this, and how could I go one step beyond just having a good deep conversation with someone on a festival like this. And Cliff said, well, if I would go to an event like that, I would probably come home with between 10-15 leads for new coaching clients. And I was intrigued, how would you do that? And so he describes the steps that you could take from you know, this first encounter, asking some questions, exploring also what people may struggle with. And then you could stop the interview. And this is usually also when people subconsciously kind of lower their defenses even more because the camera is now off and you can just continue a conversation. And then you could explore if there are issues that person is dealing with that you could actually help them with, either by inviting them into membership community or offering coaching, or, you know, the first thing you could do is invite them. Hey, this is exactly the type of stuff that I coach people with. If you are interested, I can offer you like a free, no strings attached coaching call, and I will just try to help you. So I love this aspect of, it's not advertising, it's not pushing something, it's just, how can I serve you? And if I serve someone to the best of my knowledge and with all my energy, something has happened in that person, and I can help that person transform or have an experience of transformation. And if that is something that person would like to continue and has the means to afford it, you can sense that after a while. You can propose it. And maybe someone will say no, and that's fine. And maybe it's exactly what that person needs. So it's an approach that I think is so fitting to the way in which I would like to serve others. Anyway, that's a bit of a digression, but that final piece of the puzzle was so good that I can think of these events as a not just first contact, but it's also establishing some trust in that relationship, and include, and this is the thing that was missing so far, it's a call to action. Like, hey, if you're interested, let's make an appointment, or, you know, and it's fine if that's the only other contact that we're going to have, but I would like to help you. So it made me think to next time I want to go there with even more purpose. And of course, I can think about the way in which I further this these encounters and rehearse it even a little bit, because this is not something I've done before. So, but I've also, this weekend, I've noticed that in almost all my conversations, I went so much deeper than I've ever done before. And it's just because I wanted to ask interview questions that would go beyond the costume and beyond the event, and to show real interest in the life, the questions, and the ideals and the values of the people. I'm always looking for, you know, what are your dreams, and how does that inspire me? How does it touch me? How does it hurt me if you are struggling with realizing that in your day-to-day life, and maybe I can help? Anyway, it's a long description of that experience, and I've had tons of encounters. I came home with a lot of photos. I posted most of them in the first 2-3 days, and now I have wonderful video footage, and I'm debating how to best share that, because if this is part of my mission, and if it's a strategic part of my mission to expand my community and to help more people, then I should prioritize also what I do with content like this. And from experience, I know that if I set myself as a goal to make one big documentary that is half an hour and there's lots of voiceovers and it's very constructed, it will not get done. I don't have the time and I don't have the resources to hire other people to do that for me. Is the material good enough for it? Undoubtedly. I think you could, based on the material that I shot over this weekend, you could make a fantastic television episode. But I cannot do it, because I'm wiped out after 2 days like that. And this is one of the reasons that I'm building this coaching business. And I'm trying this afternoon. I have a conversation with a parishioner of mine who does a lot of fundraising for charities, to maybe also get some pointers as to how I can create a more solid financial foundation for this mission. My dream is that within 2 years, I will have the reliable income that enables me to hire someone who, immediately after I'm done filming, will take that footage, will take maybe have a conversation with that person for an hour or 2 hours, in which I say, this is what this is the story I want to tell. Now go and put it together. I'm not there yet, so in order to not let this go to waste, why don't I cut it up in short videos and just post them on social media? A short encounter. So I'm thinking about a format that I can use for these 1 or 2 minute videos. And I'm thinking of one title, but I'm always open for suggestions. So if you have any other ideas, let me know. I was thinking of First Contact, because that's what it is. It's First Contact has a bit of a Star Trek-y vibe to it. You know what? I'm not going to continue this path, because it's going to lead me very far away from home, and it's almost lunchtime now. And so I would be able to post this as almost like these short slices of life, encounters that I have with interesting people. And I'm still debating on whether to add personal commentary to that or just leave it as is. Or post it in a hybrid form where I would post a video and then I would write a blog post with some reflections on that encounter. I feel that is actually probably the one that I at least feel most inclined to right now, because that would also give me content to share in my Diary of a Media Priest. Now that I think of it, I'm going to do that. So instead of filming myself reacting to that conversation, which feels awkward because all of a sudden I'm no longer at the festival, and it's also you're commenting on someone who is no longer there. So what I can do is to write a short accompanying story to that, and that will give me an opportunity in a different medium to reflect upon the encounter and on what was said. And it will give more depth to, because all these encounters are relatively small. Most of these interviews, and this is because in my mind, I'm actually taking people out of the experience. This is a limiting thought in my own mind, where I feel like I'm not worthy to have an 8-minute interview. And in terms of length, of course, that would be much more interesting to have a longer interview. But I now have all these like 2-3 minute short encounters that are in itself not always a full story. Like, for instance, the Belgian guy who talks about his mental problems, in my mind that was a 5-6 minute conversation. I looked at the footage, it was only 1.5 minutes, 30 seconds of which were him like, I don't know what to say, and long silences. But he said like 4 or 5 phrases, but they all were like, oh wow, that is amazing. So if I would write an accompanying blog, you could kind of take that video and expand upon it. I don't know if I make myself clear. It's something that would work well, I think, on Instagram and on LinkedIn. I'm not sure if it would work on YouTube, because YouTube is a visual medium. Nobody reads the notes. So I don't know. TikTok, same thing. I would like to share more of my life on TikTok and on YouTube, but maybe not as permanent videos. I'm struggling with that. YouTube Shorts are only 1 minute, and they are not, the way in which the algorithm works is not conducive for this kind of content. You want to create content that is able to go viral. Whereas this is more human interest, and the algorithm does not serve human interest. It's unfortunate, and the same is true on TikTok. But, you know, that's why I have multiple channels, and each channel has its own grace. So maybe I should just allow myself to mainly distribute this type of content on Facebook. Facebook would also be a place where I can tell a story. I can write a blog with a video, and people would probably read that. So maybe I'll do that and just keep YouTube and TikTok for something else. You see, this is how I'm always thinking in my mind, how can I make sure that this doesn't go to waste? Because that has been my biggest pain point over the past years, is I film so much amazing stuff and I can never share it. Not because I'm lazy or because what I've been thinking for years, because I'm disorganized and I should get a grip on myself and be more productive. No, it's just because I have a neurodivergent brain, and after a very intense social weekend, I need time to recover, and I just don't have the energy to do all the other stuff in addition to having those high moments of activity. So anyway, I think that wraps it up for this episode of The Walk. One final announcement for this is the public part of the show. I will record a premium extra mile for my patrons. But I know that about between 400 and 500 people, so 400 and 500 of you that are actually listening to this, are not patron. Or maybe you've signed up for the patron page, but you just in the free tier. And that's totally fine. But I want to make you aware of what I'm working on, which could be interesting for you in the future. And that is, I'm migrating from the combination of services that I've been using in the past, like Patreon, and I use that for as an email newsletter service, so I can, anyone who is a member of Patreon, even if it's a non-paying patron, I can reach them, I can send them a message. I use Discord for the community. I use YouTube for live shows, etc. All that we're going to bring together on my own platform, Father Roderick. And what I love about what I'm building right now is a community where you will be able to experience the sense of community that we currently have on Discord, but no longer dependent on Discord. Discord is tricky for a lot of people. It's made for gamers, and you can tell. So it's not the most user-friendly environment for some of you. So I want to bring that. I want to be able to give you access to a podcast, like a premium podcast, if you want to. What I can add, and that is new, I can do live video sessions comparable to a Zoom meeting or a webinar with that same community. And I can send people invites if they're part of that community, which is amazing. And another thing that I really love is the ability to create monthly challenges where you can create accountability for one another. So say, for instance, we all think it is time to, I don't know, rewatch the entire Star Wars trilogy. You can make a challenge like the week around, or the month around, let's not do a week, that's a bit too much, but in the month around Star Wars Day on May the 4th, May the 4th be with you, we will challenge each other to rewatch the 9 Star Wars movies, the Skywalker saga. And maybe I will do some live sessions where I give you my thoughts. I've never done a full commentary on the Star Wars films. So stuff like that. So I've worked for weeks on creating those communities. For me, there's also a technical aspect of it, and getting to know the technical possibilities and things that are not possible in Kajabi. Let me go into the woods here. I hope this path doesn't have a dead end like a lot of the paths in this area of the woods. It's a combination of stuff that I'm super excited about, and I can then, we've already gotten rid of the Podbean for the podcast that's now hosted on Kajabi. We don't have the Patreon intermediary. It's very limited what I can do with Patreon in order to offer you a community. And I can only have one podcast feed, which annoys me as well, because you get this, you know, I know that I have a lot of you listening. You are just listening to The Walk. And maybe from time to time you may check out The Break, but it's just not your show. And vice versa. There are lots of people listening to The Break. They don't care that much for the content of The Walk. In Kajabi, I can make it much more targeted and say, well, hey, I'm going to do this particular show. So I'm currently thinking about how am I going to continue my podcast in this new environment. I have a few options. I first want to kind of do a test run with my current patrons so that I can figure out what serves you the best. However, long story short, I have about 400 to 500 listeners to The Walk that are not patrons right now. But I do believe that community that I'm building could serve you very well, because you're listening to The Walk because you like these conversations about, you know, life and struggles in life, and it's really me. I mean, I'm not the host of a morning show or anything. It's what you hear is what you get. And I know that a lot of you can relate to what I share. I would like to continue that relationship with you. But I also know that in this new environment, I could offer you so much more in terms of accompaniment, spiritual guidance, accountability, go deeper into stuff with webinars or live streams and types of coaching. So I'm thinking about a way in which I can offer you access to this. I need to explain what I'm doing. So maybe I'll just combine it's the premium part as well. Normally I share this with my patrons, but I will share it with you as well, because we're moving to a new situation anyway. So you all know, this is the extra mile. What I'm thinking of right now is, I have my basic community. What is currently Patreon which is people that pay a small monthly fee so they help me to be able to do this work. That and you have the free patrons and the free members, right? They have access to a premium podcast feed, and right now these are just slightly longer versions of the public shows that I do, like the one that you're listening to right now. But I've also noticed that, of course, if I look at the statistics, what used to be my first contact with people through podcasts, because people would just find me and start listening, is no longer fulfilling that particular function in my mission. My first contact now, in terms of numbers, is absolutely TikTok and YouTube, and to a lesser extent, Instagram, if I would continue to build on that. The podcast is now, as I mentioned, it's about 400 or 500 people. With the break, it is between 500 and 600 people, the public podcast. So, in my mind, it's not a priority. I mean, it's a priority to record this content, because I know it's important to you, and it's not about the numbers, but it's about how it serves you. But the public aspect of these shows is not as important anymore, because for most of you, this is part of an ongoing relationship that you have with me as a podcaster and as a priest. Which makes me think, well, maybe I should bring this over to the community, because then I can offer anyone who joins the community access to that particular podcast feed that is independent from Patreon. And what I try to get my head around, and I think I've figured it out, is what are the levels in this new environment? And I'm thinking there is this base community that is similar to Patreon now, and Patreon plus Discord. That is what I call the friends of Father Roderick. You are my friends. And it's a real friendship. I experience it as a real friendship, even though there is a distance and it's a bit of a delayed experience. It's not always life, but it feels life. It feels like I really know you, and I know it feels for you as if you really know me. So you are my friends, and I want to offer my friends a place where they can get together and where I can get in touch with them, where I can have, you know, an occasion every month to answer your questions, where I can serve you with a podcast that I know you will listen to because you care for it. And it takes the pressure off, for instance, the break, where like, how do I position the break? How do I get the word out? It is just completely lost in a sea of incredible podcasts out there. But it's no longer an instrument for first contact. This is an instrument for deepening the relationship with you. So I'm thinking of maybe shifting my focus and my energy on that community podcast. Then the second step is, if there are people among my friends who would like some more in-depth accompaniment or coaching, for them, I have two options. One is coaching, one-on-one coaching or group coaching, the way I've started to do this now, or to join a membership community that is a place where you can get that attention and that accompaniment in a way that I won't be able to do for everyone, because it requires time and more resources. And I have two communities that I have set up for that. One is for personal growth. This is about topics that we all deal with in life. You know, my walk in faith, my relationships, how do I balance my life, my health, my physical health, my mental health, my struggles, my pain, how can I find healing, how can I get ahead in my life, what is my vocation, what is my calling, am I on the right path, questions like that. It's the stuff that I talk about here on the walk, but it's done in a way that I can actually answer your questions or provide you with guidance, and where the community can also help one another with their experiences. This is the personal growth community. And then the second, more professional community, where I can have a more intense accompaniment, is the what I call missionary media community, where I can teach you how to get the word out, how to share your message, your mission, your values, your dreams with the world. Hey, hi, fellow runner. I think he's from my running group. So that's the media, the content production community. Those two communities are membership communities where I will ask for a monthly fee. And this is because I will invest a lot of my time and resources in having good accompaniment for the people that join that particular community. Whereas the friends community, that this can be anyone. It can be that this could, should also be a welcoming place for the people that follow me on TikTok or on YouTube or on social media and want to, you know, join this community and establish this first contact. So what I'm currently thinking of, and let me know what your thoughts are, especially those of you that are currently not part of my Patreon community. In order to make time for this new community-based presence to you as a listener or as someone who follows me, as a friend, I feel like I have to shift my resources to a certain extent. And I'm currently thinking of, well, why don't I take the best elements of my three podcasts, actually. I have three podcasts. Two are public and one is, everything is there, but it's not made public. And that's the Catholic Insider. And it's my entire back catalog of all the audio documentaries that I've made all over the world. What if I would combine the walk, the break, you know, my interest in stories and movies and TV shows, etc., and combine that in one podcast, one quality podcast? And there, again, it's an idea, and I know that it's, I don't want to force anything upon you as a listener, because I know how much you value this podcast, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to me for an hour. So I was thinking, well, what if I would just create one show, and it's the Father Roderick podcast. It is available to anyone who joins the community of my friends or one of the membership communities. They all get access to that podcast. But it instead of it being a format that wants to reach a certain type of audience, it's just going to be the same Father Roderick who is sometimes in his studio and he talks about the movies that he's seen and about his faith and answers questions and, you know, the stuff that I usually talk about in a break. And sometimes it's Father Roderick who is visiting Italy and who's going to give you a tour of one of the old Roman temples that have been unearthed near, I don't know, something like that, you know. And another day, it could be Father Roderick who takes you for, let's go for a walk. And I've got this thing that I want to share with you. And it would be the format that you're currently listening to, the format of the walk. It's all in the same feed. And it's I would produce these with the same rhythm as I do now. So it would just be like a Monday I record a new podcast episode. But it's much more like you're looking at the world through my eyes. And I don't feel forced anymore to only limit myself to this particular format. Or if I do a travel, if I'm in Rome, oh, I cannot post that in my regular feed because it's the break and it doesn't match with the rest of the show. I assume And let me know if I'm wrong, that if you listen to my podcast, you're not listening to me just for the content. You're listening also because you enjoy spending some time with me. And it doesn't really matter if I'm like on a walk and I talk about these more personal things, or I'm in Rome and I show you around and I let you share in the joy of being in another part of the world, or I want to absolutely talk about the amazing insights I had reading this new book that has really been transformative in my life, or I talk about, I don't know, maybe there's a Star Wars premiere and I want to talk for an hour about this new Star Wars movie. Because it's all in the same feed, you can pick and choose. You can say, well, hey, I'm going to listen to this episode, or, well, this particular topic, maybe some other time, or maybe I don't have time right now. You see what I mean? So it would be just, but for me, in terms of focus, it would make a big change for the better. Because then I can focus solely on, I have this one podcast that I make for my friends, for you. And I want you to listen to it. And maybe for a while I will still post an episode every once in a while in the public feed for those of you that are, for whatever reason, unable to join the community, so they can still get some input. But what I ultimately would love is to bring all my friends together in a way that I can reach you on a consistent base. And I hope that adds value to your life, right? So the one option would be to do these alternate formats, and it's sometimes in my studio, and maybe it's on a walk, and maybe it's when I'm walking around in the mountains and of Austria or wherever I am traveling this year and next year, or maybe I don't know, could be anything. So that's one thing. That would be the easiest thing to do, because then I always have something to share. And I don't have to think, oh, it needs to be this specific format. It's just whatever feels right. The second would be a bit more convoluted, but could also be a format that would work. This is really where I need your input, because I'm not sure. Maybe I should just try it out, but so far it's not my favorite option, and that would be to do a show of about 1 hour that is kind of a combination of the best elements of the shows that I currently record. So it would, for instance, start like the break, and we would talk about movies and TV shows, and then I would the second part of the show, let's go outside, let's go for a walk, and let me talk about, I don't know, how to deal with loneliness in your life, and would have a conversation like that. It feels like it's too different from the movie TV stuff, which is kind of really lighthearted. But I mean, maybe it's interesting to listen to a show that has all these elements, and then the third part could be more like Q&A, more community-based, like if you have any questions, I don't know, or an interview or something like that. Now that I'm explaining it to you, it feels too contrived. It feels too complicated, and I know that if I make it too complicated, it will block me. So actually, unless you convince me otherwise, I think that option is off the table. It doesn't feel like a right fit. Plus, it would be much harder to make. Because then every week I need to think, oh, I need to do a 20-minute segment about movies. And then I need to do a 20-minute walk. And then, and some of you are just interested in this kind of content. And you don't care that much for the video and stuff. Or the TV reviews. I would force you to listen to that part, and it's not your thing. Whereas if it's just every week, it's an episode. And sometimes it's a walk, and sometimes it's more of the break, or it's a Catholic Insider type of show. It's just the Father Roderick show or the Father Roderick podcast. I don't know. Let me think, and let me hear from you. You know how to find me. Love to hear your feedback. So again, thank you so much. I know that I've been talking for quite a bit. The one thing I wanted to say is I spoke about this like pilot period for early access. What I'm currently doing is what we're going to do is to send an invitation to a certain number of current followers to join the Friends community in early access. And then what we're going to do is, because I'm still building that up and I don't want to just open it to the general public if it's not up to my standards, but I need a pilot group who can help me to get the hang of this new environment, maybe do some tests and make sure that if we open the gate, it will be an amazing experience. What I'm currently thinking of is offering a select number of you a 90-day free experience of that community, and maybe also of one of the other communities. And I would try to find the people that really match the particular content of the Friends community, or the media community, or the personal growth community. But the first 2 or 3 months, it's no risk. You're going to have this experience entirely for free, in addition to what I continue to provide you with if you are a patron. So we'll still get that premium feed, and I'll be able to stay in touch. And then once the early access phase is over and the community is working and flourishing and a great place to be, then I can send everyone an invitation to come over and take a look. But I want it to be very effortless for you and without any risk. So maybe you'll get an email from me in the weeks to come with an invitation to join those beta testers of the community. It's quite something. I'm taking my time because I know that I want to make it something that goes far beyond anything I've been able to provide you with in the past. So bear with me if it takes a while, but I really hope that it's going to be of service to you and a place where you want to join me and my community. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll talk soon. God bless.